Welcome to Basket Talks new episode. This is Mirdemir Demirer from Basket Talks. In this episode, we are with Daria Mieloshinska. Hi, Coach, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm good, and thank you for accepting my invitation. And I see you have a very busy schedule, and we talk about it like 3 months or 2 months about this episode, and finally, we do this.
We do this, we are here, and I'm glad to be here with you and to finally have a conversation.
Yeah, me too. And how is your season going? How is your life going? Everything is good?
Everything is stable. Athletes making progress. After COVID-19, we all coming back to reality and to normal living. So everything is good. Everybody's healthy. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to hear that. So I want to start my questions. First of all, I want to start with your basketball history, your past basketball career. And when and where did you first became interested in basketball?
It was about when I was 9 years old. I started playing basketball, and it was because of my great physical education teacher. She didn't know how to tell me what to do with my energy because I was very much so about competing. I really liked the physical education classes, but I want to compete with everybody. So she was quite nicely and gently invite me for a meeting, for a conversation, and she didn't know how to quite tell me, okay, we are really tired of you and maybe you need to try to, you know, play another level, try to train in the club, because I have the idea that I even have a petition in school in which I want to join the physical education classes with the guys. So it was really interesting for me. I didn't like it on the beginning, to be honest, you know. But as I progress with all the kids who joined the group on the beginning, I was the only one who left out and continued playing basketball. Yeah. I'm really grateful for her.
Yeah, and you was in Poland, right? In that time? Or
I was in Poland, yes.
And continue in Poland?
I continue in Poland up to have my senior year in high school. And then I decide to go to the United States for school.
Yeah.
To continue journey. Yeah.
It's Texas University.
Yes, University of Texas in Austin. Yes.
Yeah. So after that, you played Poland, France, and Spain. And these have too much, but I want to ask you, what is your favorite memory as a basketball player?
It's really hard to pick one because there's, you know, so many good memories, mostly related to people, because I had a privilege to play for really gifted coaches and for great players. All my memories are really related to people, not the events itself. But if I have to pick one, when I play in Spain for Deportivo Zamarat and we play against Salamanca team, I had a really, really good game. It was one of those games that whatever the shot you take, it goes to the hole, you know, one of those lucky one-time games. I make 9 or 10 3-point shots. Rudy Fernandez was present at this game, so every time I took a shot, he was making a very funny expression, like every time, like come on, guard her, you know what I mean? Like whatever I did, it just went in. So it was just funny to expression. And after a while, every time I took a shot, I look at the stand, I look at the fans, and he was there just like, you know, holding head or like making threes or like, you know, making a very extra gesture. So that was really funny. And not just about scoring, but just his reaction that stuck to my memory. When I was leaving the gym, I actually get a really good applause from the fans on the opposite teams. And they were trying to convince me to sign the contract in Salamanca for next year. So that was one of the like maybe kind of funny memories.
I want to ask that you was in Texas University. And
yes,
everybody knows the USA is the basketball's town. And the Texas University is improve your basketball.
Yeah, it really changed my game because, you know, when I came to from Poland to USA, I was really, really skinny. I didn't know anything about strength and conditioning part of training. I had a chance to transform my game to more physical game. Meet one of the greatest strength and conditioning coach, Angel Spasov from Bulgaria, who was working at the University of Texas at that time. And he really changed my game as far as the preparation and how strong strong I became, and because of that, my game to me became much easier. Play professionally, I really couldn't believe that people pay me for doing that, you know, for playing basketball, because of this transformation, that the change, the mindset, the preparation, you know, how serious the game was in the USA. And after that, he became my mentor throughout my career, and every time I finish season, I will go to Texas and train with him. So he was always a part of my career, and that was really game changer for me.
Thank you. We talk about a little bit about your player career, and I want to ask that, when did you decide to switch from being a basketball player to coach?
About like 6 years ago, I was definitely start becoming a coach, but before that, you know, when I was finishing my career, I still want to be a part of this sports business. So I start preparing for that a little bit, you know, organizing the camps and participate in different practices. When I had a chance to be, for example, in France, Spain, you know, just to watch the coaches. For example, when I finish my basketball training, I will ask the coaches to stay after and maybe participate in other practices, but from other side of the basketball, you know, when I finish playing transformation, easier for me to make it, you know. But again, it was really, really hard because it's a different mindset as a coach. The player.
Yeah, and by the way, you are owner of the Mini Basketball Academy. And first of all, I want to ask you, what is the typical age that a person is when they first start playing basketball?
For our academy, is very unusual. We started this academy about 11 years ago. That was also a part of transformation for me preparing to be a coach. But this academy was created with a group of friends. The kids were playing in a yard on a mini basket, you know, and we were like thinking what to do with this and how to transform this idea into the business. So 11 years ago, when we opened this academy, we start with 2 years old. And when you think about 2 years old, you think, like, okay, what you can really do with 2 years old? Just really coordination classes with the basketball elements. So you focus a lot of simple motor skills exercises. And because we were able to work with our coaches in USA, we were observing what they're doing over there. We adapt our program of Mini Basket Academy in Poland to make it possible. And again, we created a special playbook for our coaches to continue the same method of training. And we implement that training in our academy, and we continue doing this for 11 years. So it's really, really becoming successful.
Yeah. All these experiences, how can coaches train with kids? Which methods are true or work?
It's a different when you're working with kids. It's a different when you're working with teenagers and then pro level. You know, when you're working with kids, you really have to, most of all, like working with kids because it's a different. It's really hard to cheat on kids. You know, they really get you energy. If you don't like to work with them, they right away know that you are not really a good coach. They don't focus so much on a method of training. They focus on what energy you have with them. And that's the bridge between you and them. And if you have that energy, then you can a little bit implement some of the elements related to basketball, because most of all they like you and they have a connections with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me? But my video is not working.
So do you want me to continue?
Yeah. I will figure it out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. When you're working with the younger, you really have to enjoy this, again, interacting with the kids and, you know, continue to start implementing a little bit more basketball skills. And there's not really one method. There's not really one method of training, you know. That's what I would advise with all their kids, is as far as the you go with the progress, then you implement more basketball skills and it becomes a little bit more serious. But on the beginning, you just really enjoy it to interaction.
Thank you. So we got a program just 2 seconds ago. So sorry about that. Sometimes it's doing like this. So you work with men's basketball team as a coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would ask you about the distinction between the men's and women's basketball. What do you think about it?
I work with men's basketball mostly because I like the way men's communicate, you know. I like the straightforward of way of communication. When they have a problem, they go outside, they solve their problem, they come back and they work, you know. So I like that way of communication. I, as a player, I collaborate the same way with coach. I didn't like the coaches who talk a lot, you know. I like simple messages like, okay, when I play pick and roll, what do you want me to do? You want me to go under? You want me to switch? You want me to play hedge out? You want me to whatever, you know. I like simple messages. And of course, the consequences goes on coach, you know, after that, you know. I like simple messages. Again, what was the question? Sorry. I have a problem with that. You know, I start like...
No problem. Me too.
It's not because of.
I have the same problem too. I understand it. So,
sorry, it's
early. No problem. The distinction between men's and women's basketball.
Sorry. As far as the women, they're very persistent. Like, women are very specific about things. If you give them a goal, they will do 110%. Like, men are more effective. They are all about, like, dunks, effectiveness, finishings of, you know, how they look, how it's effective, you know. But women are, don't do that because they don't have the skill. More women who can dunk right now, and the game becomes even more interesting. But before, in our generation, we didn't have that kind of thing. So we have to be more aggressive. We have to be more persistent. Women become very powerful on the basketball court in that way, you know. So it's, we have to kind of catch up for what we don't have to make a game more attractive to us and to fans and to everybody else around. So I think there's a much difference. But as far as the communication with women, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, so it's maybe hard, and it's maybe you don't want to answer it, but I still want to ask that. Which is most harder, working with women's basketball team or working with men's basketball team?
I'm talking about just from a woman perspective, because in Poland, there's not a lot of situation in which women works with men. There's not a lot of situations like that. So maybe from my perspective, culture part and the business, maybe when you walk into the gym, men don't really know what to do with you as a woman coach. Because they never see that image before, you know. It's not very popular here in Poland. More likely in the States, when women coaches coaching men's team or boys or youth team or anything. But here, the image, it's really, you know, they right away, you have to gain their trust on the beginning. But as far as the women, I think we are a little bit more emotional. That's true about us, you know. We need to a little bit more time to process. So that's what I said on the beginning, you know. Men solve the issues right away. I don't deal how they solve the problems, you know what I mean? If they need to step outside and deal with them, but when they come back, it's done. We don't talk about this anymore. We just continue to work. With women, it's a little bit more still coming back to the same subject. So sometimes it might be a little bit issues on the court, you know, because I still remember what you say and you remember what I said. It's a little bit more emotional power involved. So that could be very difficult. But there's a one common thing, which I was surprised for women and men. They both gossip.
Yeah. So I want to ask that between this question and next question, you participated in Special Olympics and you won a bronze medal. How did you and your team find this experience?
We won the bronze medal, but I was actually assistant coach. I was not the head coach of this team. The head coach was Coach Hilicki, Dariusz Hilicki. He worked with Special Olympics for about 30 years. I had a chance to be there and, of course, participate in such a great tournament and experience the emotion related to Special Olympics. Most people don't know that I participate in Special Olympics, and when they find out, they're really surprised about it. And I think that because I am participating in Special Olympics, I can be a better coach. Because when I'm there and I experience all the emotions and how much the athletes compete, but everything related to inclusion, to this special event, I feel that the role switches. Really, I'm just on the paper the coach, but really they are coaching me because they transform the way of thinking. And because I am able to participate in Special Olympics, when I come back and I work with the healthy athletes, I think that I'm much more better coach. I have certain plans, but they show me that the plans go to the garbage. You know, life is not like that, you know. So I learned so much from them. I could not believe that I can experience something like this. So I wish for every coach who works with the healthy athletes to have that kind of experience, because I promise that you think you will go with the role of a coach, but you really become a student of the game.
Yeah, thank you. And we come to final question. So in your opinion, how must basketball be played?
You will have to probably ask much more gifted coaches than me. You will probably have to ask Obradovic, Coach Obradovic, Coach Messina, Coach Pop, Yashikevicius, you know, you have to ask, or Coach Etudis, you know, you have to ask those great coaches who are the great mindset, you know, and game changers. The only thing I can tell you from the perspective of mine as a player, how you have to be play, you have to play like there's no day tomorrow. Every player should play like there's no day tomorrow. You know what I mean? A lot of players waiting for the perfect situation. Like if they have a season that they don't design for themselves, meaning maybe they play less or they don't have a role that they wanted. They don't use this time. They're waiting, oh my gosh, let's the season to be over so the next season will be better. What do you have to take from this experience? Why are you waiting for the future when the future is not given? Use this experience as much as you can. Even if you work with the coaches that you don't really like or you don't really respect, there's probably something you can really get out of this experience, you know? So don't wait for tomorrow, don't wait for the perfect situation, you know, and then really enjoy the game. The next day is not given and the next game is not given, so play like there's no day tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. It's not connected, but in my mind, this scenes playing, the scenes that in Kung Fu Panda, a turtle saying, today is a, what's this sentence? I can't remember, but there is a sentence I can't remember. Today is a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow is a mystery and yesterday is a history. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, good job. Good job. Good job. You represent today.
Yeah.
Good job. One of my favorite quotes is from John Wooden. Say, much can be accomplished by teamwork when nobody considers who gets credit. Yes, because I think everybody wants to be Michael Jordan, but sometimes nobody wants to take a job of the Scottie Pippen and Rodman. You know what I mean?
So, or Larry Bird.
Again, much can be accomplished by teamwork when nobody considers who gets credit. It's not always what you design for yourself, it's what coach think need at this time from you. And sometimes we have a hard time to accept that role, because it's not the Michael Jordan role. So everybody wants to be a sniper. Everybody wants to stand in the corner. You pass and we finish the final shot. Everybody wants to shoot. That's the, you know, fun part of basketball. But again, using the time that you have, accept the role that somebody designed for you. And again, play like there's no day tomorrow.
So thank you for coming and answering my question.
Thank you. Thank you for remembering questions for me.
No problem.
Thank you so much for meeting, you know, that we finally had a chance to have this interview, and, you know, best wishes for everything throughout your life, career, and you know, don't give up on your dreams.
Thank you. And have a good life and have a good season, I hope.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. See ya.
In this episode, we are with Daria Mieloshinska. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoy. See you in next episode. Bye-bye.